RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news followed by news across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, welcome back to the news. Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says future on nation lies in teachers' hand. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla says Sel Sabang 2017 proves the progress of Indonesia tourism sector. Now the news in detail. The nation's future lies in the hands of teachers across Indonesia, President Joko Widodo remarked in a speech to mark National Teachers' Day's main event and the Indonesian Teachers' Union anniversary on Saturday. The president noted that he expects all teachers to continue to dedicate themselves to this nation by not only teaching but also carrying out their professional duties optimally for the future of this nation. According to the president, teachers should nurture and enlighten the students to build a healthy, mature, and understanding generation that believes in the principle of Bhinneka Tunggal Ika or unity in diversity. In addition, President Joko Widodo explained that technological advancement cannot replace the role of teachers, as it is prophetic, and in addition to teaching academics, they also impart sound values to the younger generation. President Jokowi noted that the commemoration of National Teachers' Day should offer the necessary momentum to Indonesia to prepare the younger generation that is responsive and thought. Sel Sabang 2017 has been held since November 28 and will end on 4 December. The peak event was officially opened by Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla on Saturday 2 December at Sabang Container Port of Sabang at Pasiran Village, Sukakarya Sub-District, Sabang City, Aceh. In his speech, Vice President Yusuf Kalla conveyed that Sabang is a strategic area for the development of tourism and maritime sector. Therefore, the tourism sector must be well managed because tourism is a very large economic driver. Yusuf Kalla hoped Sabang can attract tourists to visit Indonesia.
Kita harus merubah cara berpikir kita sesuai dengan teknologi.
We must change our mindset in accordance with the existing technology in the world, especially in the maritime field. Therefore, the presence of Sel Sabang 2017 proved that maritime will develop in the future besides trade, so tourism is a very large economic mover. Regarding to this, the governor of Aceh, Irwandi Yusuf, expressed his hope to the vice president that there will be additional port and the development of Maimun Saleh Airport into an international airport. In addition, the governor also hoped the central government will provide full support in order to make Sabang as the world marine tourism terminal. Also attended on the peak of Sel Sabang 2017 ceremony were Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, Tourism Minister Arif Yahya, and Minister of Marine and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti. Indonesia has been re-elected member of the Council of the International Maritime Organization, or IMO, of C category for 2018 to 2019. The decision was announced at a session held at the IMO headquarters in London recently. Indonesian Ambassador for Britain, Ireland and IMO Dr. Rizal Sukma has said. Dr. Rizal, who led an Indonesian delegation at the meeting, said that certainly they are grateful with the re-election of Indonesia member of the IMO Council. He said that Indonesia is given a higher ranking and won larger votes in the Friday's election compared with the previous period. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi addressing the IMO Assembly meeting, which was led by Mr. Ronaldo Drago Rodriguez from Chile, said Indonesia, as the world's largest archipelago, is committed to continuing efforts to help guarantee shipping safety and security to support global economic growth. Indonesia, therefore, would continue to cooperate with IMO in seeking to bring to reality the country's ambition to become a world maritime axis, a vision presented by President Joko Widodo at IMO in April 2016. Indonesia will maintain its good reputation at the European Union's timber market, which is known for its strict controls and quality requirements, a minister said recently. Since November last year, when Indonesia's Timber Legality Verification System, or SVLK, was recognized by the European Union, the country has shipped to the regional bloc more than $1 billion worth of certified timber products. The legality verification system is in accordance with the European Union's strict forest law enforcement, government and trade action plan that was launched in 2003 to reduce illegal logging. Environment Minister Siti Nurbaya said in a statement that this is a milestone for Indonesia. The forest law enforcement, government and trade licensing allows all Indonesian timber products with the SVLK certificates to enter the European Union market. European Union Ambassador Vincent Guérin said that the FLEGT licensing is about something more than just trade, as it benefits people and the planet. Vincent said that European Union confirmed their support and trust to the Ministry of Environment and Forestry. Minister Siti Nurbaya urged timber consumer countries to support the sustainability policy by not receiving timber from illegal sources and to end illegal logging, and support sustainable management of forests. Indonesian President Joko Widodo ordered his staff to take a policy in anticipating the impact of tropical cyclones that hit Indonesia. The policy, he said, needs to be prepared especially in protecting the national food production sector and the impact of natural disasters. Speaking after inaugurating a number of sports arenas at Gelora Bung Karno or GBK Stadium on Saturday in Jakarta, the president also asked his staff to maintain Indonesia's logistics distribution channels. It is intended to maintain the food security aspects of society in facing the tropical cyclone's disaster. We must anticipate this extreme weather impact, especially on food production. Although until now there has been no problem, but this is still in December. We don't know what happened in January. We should be aware, especially the logistics line should not be cut off due to the disaster. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo called all Indonesian people to improve their alertness related to the ongoing extreme weather changes in the country. He also ordered his staff to quickly help the community in case of disaster. The last item, Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the renovation of the sports arena in Gelora Bung Karno, Jakarta on Saturday afternoon 2nd December, ahead of the implementation of the Asian Sports Competition or the upcoming Asian Games 2018. The sport arenas which have been inaugurated by the president are hockey field, ABC football field, archery arena and swimming stadium or aquatic. Attending the inauguration of the four sports arenas were Minister of Public Works and People's Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati, Minister of Youth and Sports Imam Nahrawi, and Jakarta Vice Governor Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno. After the inauguration, President Joko Widodo stated that he hoped the renovation of the stadium and the sports arena in Gelora Bung Karno can be used not only to facilitate the activity of athletes, but also open to the general public.
Ya, yang pertama, yang paling penting bahwa
the most important that the environment in Senayan and the area of Bung Karno Stadium should be a public space for the community. It means not only for sport facility but also to be a public space and an open space that can be utilized by the community. There are significant changes before and after the renovation. You can ask to the athletes or the trainers what kind of difference. Earlier, Minister of Public Works and People's Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono explained that the construction of the four sports arenas, which will cost 370 billion rupiah from the total of 2.2 trillion rupiah fund prepared by the government. The four sports arena will soon be used as the location of the test match before the 2018 Asian Games in Jakarta and Palembang officially started. Mr. Basuki also said after the four arenas were inaugurated, the nine other arenas in Bung Karno Stadium will be completed by the end of December. Listener, that was the news.
Welcome back to weekly segment of news from across the country. The segment will present various interesting information from all over the country in a week. The first history comes from Kudus, East Java. Hundreds of nine guardian or wali artifacts are on display in Kudus District, Central Java, to celebrate the civilization of Javanese guardians or wali Jawi at the Hall of Sunan Kudus Tomb Complex and Kudus Tower on Wednesday. The exhibition of artifacts, which was held by the Indonesian Directorate General of Culture in collaboration with the Aulia Graveyard Association of Java, was attended by Director of Heritage and Cultural Diplomacy, the Ministry of Education and Culture, Najmuddin Ramli, and Head of Culture Diplomacy, Yayu Sri Budi Rahayu. The opening of the artifacts exhibition is marked by beating beduk and cutting of the flower ribbon at the entrance of the exhibition hall at Sunan Kudus Tomb Complex and Kudus Tower. According to Najmuddin Ramli, the artifact exhibition is firstly held in Kudus. With the exhibition, he hopes the relics of the guardians or wali can be known by the wider community. Muhammad Najib Hasan said that the event was intended to encourage people to remember the struggle of wali in spreading Islam. There were several historical objects of guardians' relic, among others beduk of the 15th century, the shingle of the Demak Great Mosque, the model of the Demak Great Mosque, and the Quran of the 19th century. In addition, there were also an exhibition of a number of historical photos, workshops, art and cultural performances of the Javanese wali, and book review. Still from East Java, the next story comes from Jember. The University of Jember pioneering the establishment of Science Technopark to bridge research result of the local campus academic community with industry, which was officially opened by Rector of Jember University Muhammad Hasan at Agro Technopark of Jember University on Wednesday. In his remarks, the university rector explained that the existence of STP, namely Agri Innovasi, will bring two functions: to rearrange the research result of lecturers and university students, and to support the existence of industry based on research and development, especially agriculture-based industry as plantation. One of the technologies demonstrated in the STP was the AgriInno V1.0 technology. The work of Bayu Taruna from Faculty of Agricultural Technology of University of Jember, who created remote sensing application for farmers with mobile phone as a means. The Ministry of Technology and Higher Education very supports the existence of Science Technopark Agri University of Jember Innovation, as the government has targeted the construction of 100 science technoparks in Indonesia, although it is difficult to achieve it. Last story comes from Sabang, Aceh. A total of 30 traditional and modern art galleries from Sabang City and Banda Aceh enliven the Urban Art Festival as a series of Sabang Sale events 2017. Sale Sabang is held from November 28 to December 5, 2017, theme Towards Sabang, Gate of the World Maritime Tourism Destination, and was opened by Vice President Yusuf Kalla on December 2, 2017. Mayor of Sabang Nazaruddin on Tuesday officially opened the Urban Art Festival. About 1,000 residents of Sabang and local tourists witnessed the opening of the Urban Art Festival, which performing traditional and modern arts. The mayor is also grateful to all residents of Sabang who have played an active role in maintaining the cleanliness of the most outer islands of Indonesia's western tip. That was news from across the country.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, it's nice to meet you again in our daily program Today in History over our rival service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. While we begin our program with an event that happened on December 3, 1945, is about Public Works Day. Public Works Day on December 3rd is a commemoration of an event of 3rd December 1945 when 7 employees of Public Works died at the battle to defend Gedung Sate in Bandung, West Java, which at the time became the office of Public Works Department and would be occupied by the Allies. The event was a consequence and continuation of the Proclamation of Independence of Republic of Indonesia on 17 August 1945. On 24 November 1945, Bandung City was taken by the battle. At the time, Gedung Sate was guarded by forces of Public Works Youth Movement and aided by troops from the Agency for Struggle. On 3rd December 1945, Gedung Sate was attacked by Allied forces from all corners. Based on the decree of Coordinating Minister of Public Works and Labor Department on 27 November 1965, it was decided on 3rd December as a Public Works Day. The next event was in 1984, is about the Bhopal disaster. The Bhopal disaster, also referred to as the Bhopal gas tragedy, was a gas leak incident in India, considered the world's worst industrial disaster. It occurred on the night of 2nd until 10 December 1984 at the Union Carbide India Limited, usual pesticide plant in Bhopal, Madhya Pradesh. Over 500,000 people were exposed to methyl isocyanate, mix gas and other chemicals. The toxic substance made its way into and around the sandy towns located near the plant. Estimates vary on the death toll. The official immediate toll, death toll was 2,259. The government of Madhya Pradesh confirmed that a total of 3,787 deaths related to the gas release. The government in 2006 stated that the leak counts 558,125 injuries, including 38,478 temporary partial injuries and approximately 3,900 severely and permanently disabled injuries. Others estimate that 8,000 died within 2 weeks, another
8,000 or more have since died from gas-related diseases. The cause of the disaster remains under debate. The Indian government local activists argue that slack management and repair maintenance created a situation where routine pipe maintenance caused a backflow of water into mixed tank, triggering the disaster. Union Carbide Corporation uses sea contents water under the tank through a net of sabotage. And the last event was in 1992 is about International Day of Persons with Disabilities. International Day of Persons with Disabilities on December 3rd is an international observance promoted by the United Nations since 1992. It has been celebrated with varying degrees of success around the world. The observance of the day aims to promote an understanding of disability issues and mobilize support for the dignity, rights, and well-being of persons with disabilities. It also seeks to increase awareness of gains to be derived from the integration of persons with disabilities in every aspect of political, social, economic, and cultural life. It was originally called International Day of Disabled Persons until 2007. Each year, the day focuses on a different issue. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is Editor World Service Voice of Indonesia with this week's Spotlight. This edition is on much economic progress achieved by Indonesia. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the opening of Compass 100 CEO Forum in Jakarta on Wednesday, 29 November. The discussion forum organized by Compass Daily in cooperation with PLN State Electricity Company was attended by many CEOs and state officials. It was themed Macroeconomic Policy 2018 to Maintain Quality Growth. In his opening speech, President Joko Widodo explained that Indonesia has experienced a lot of achievements and progress in the economic field. He gave an example of international recognition of Indonesia's economic recovery, one of them through investment worthy status provided by three international rating agencies. According to the president, for the first time since 1997, or in 20 years, Indonesia has been granted investment worthy status by three rating agencies, namely Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch Ratings. The president also pointed to the ease of doing business rating by the World Bank. For 2017, it increased from 106 to 91st, and in 2018, it became the 72nd rank. That is, within 2 years, Indonesia's ranking rose 34 positions. This is a very quick jump, the president said. President Jokowi also cited the result of a survey of the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, or UNCTAD, in 2017, on the prospects of investment destination countries. Indonesia this year rose to number 4 from the previous 8 ranking. This also, according to President, a trust given to Indonesia. According to the President, now the economic momentum of Indonesia is good, although the accounting is indeed complex. The president said that the biggest business opportunity today is first in the region, the second is in the tourism sector and lifestyle. President Jokowi asserted infrastructure improvements make the region now more accessible. He pointed to the example of Labuan Bajo Airport. Now people are able to fly Jakarta-Labuan Bajo non-stop and from other areas. He also pointed out last week when inaugurating Selangit Airport in Toba that for decades had been abandoned, that it now has become an international airport. Garuda aircraft now can fly directly from Singapore to Selangit. According to the president, Indonesia's economic growth is certainly not going to happen if not supported by the country's stakeholders. One of them is the business actors. Therefore, good communication between government and business actors is needed in order to accelerate the rate of economic growth for the sake of mutual prosperity. That was this week's Spotlight.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to the news in brief. The nation's future lies in the hands of teachers across Indonesia, President Joko Widodo remarked in a speech to mark National Teachers' Day's main event and the Indonesian Teachers Union's anniversary on Saturday. President noted that he expects all teachers to continue to dedicate themselves to this nation by not only teaching but also carrying out their professional duties optimally for the future of this nation. Vice President Yusuf Kalla says Sel Saban 2017 proves the progress of Indonesia tourism sector. Indonesia has been re-elected member of the Council of the International Maritime Organization of Sea Category for 2018-2019. Indonesia will maintain its good reputation at the European Union's timber market, which is known for its strict controls and quality requirements, a minister said recently. Indonesia prone to disaster, President orders for anticipation of food production reserves. Indonesian President Joko Widodo ordered his staff to take a policy in anticipating the impact of tropical cyclones that hit Indonesia. Indonesian President Joko Widodo wants Bung Karno Stadium or GBK to be a public space. Listener, that was the news in brief. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder. Today, I will take you to West Sumba, East Nusa Tenggara to enjoy the beauty of Lapupu Waterfall. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast via www.voi.co.id. Sumba Island is Nusa Tenggara is known for its natural beauty such as exotic hills, garland horse, beautiful expanse of savanna and hot climate. In addition, it turns out Sumba also has hidden natural beauty of a waterfall which is still very natural called Lapupu. The waterfall is located in the village Lapupu, Wanokaka district in the area of Manupeu National Park. Tanah Daru is like a hidden paradise in the heat of the sun and the dry climate of West Sumba. Different from other waterfalls, Lapupu looks like a staircase before reaching the pond underneath. The waterfall is approximately 90 meters high. Indeed, Lapupu Waterfall is a mandatory destination for visitors who travel overland exploring the exoticism of Sumba Island from west to east. The best time to visit this waterfall is in the dry season, which is around May to October, because in these months, the water flow is not too large, so it is suitable to be enjoyed. Upon arrival at the entrance to the waterfall, visitors must first register at the park guard post and pay 5,000 rupiah. There are toilet facility and changing rooms. To get to the location of the waterfall, visitors need to walk for about 500 meters along the outer curve of the Lopopo River with rocky terrain and downward roads. You will also pass a wooden bridge that is rather fragile and can only be passed by a maximum of 2 people, which is more exciting. Then you can see how beautiful Lopopo waterfall is. The crystal clear and turquoise blue water add to the beauty of this tourist spot. In addition, you can also feel the freshness of the waterfall by swimming in the natural pool formed by the Valon water. Aside from being a favorite tourist spot, Lopopo waterfall is also used as a water source for the local people and potential as a micro hydroelectric power plant. Listener, to visit Lopopo waterfall, you need to rent a vehicle because there is no public transportation to reach the location. The distance from Waikabubak, which is the capital of West Sumba, to Lopopo waterfall is only about 30 km. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. Until tomorrow with other interesting topic. Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Air World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome to Miscellany, a regular program that gives you various information about Indonesia. Today's edition is about Indonesia that continues to apply visa for Asian Games 2018. Besides via shortwave, you can listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Stay tuned. Indonesia will host the 18th Asian Games 2018. The event, which will be held in Jakarta and Palembang, takes place from 18 August to 2 September 2018. Various preparations related to the implementation of the Asian Games, such as venues and means of transportation, are still being prepared. All they expected to be completed in accordance with the time already targeted. In connection with the arrival of the participants, officials, and journalists to the 18th Asian Games, Indonesia will continue to apply visa as a procedure to enter the territory of Indonesia. Head of Subdirectorate of Immigration Check, or TPI, Hongki Juanda, in Asian Games Media Forum in Jakarta some time ago said that the Asian Games accreditation card does not automatically apply as an Indonesian entry visa. However, Rohongki said that the Director General of Immigration at the Ministry of Justice and Human Rights will ease the process of issuing visas to participants and journalists who will follow the Asian Games 2018. Rohongki added that accredited journalists of the Olympic Committee in each country will get free facilities of visa issuance fee, but journalists who are not accredited by the Olympic Committee of the country will still be charged for the issuance of visa. Rohongki explained that each of the Olympic committees in Asian countries will report the issuance of visas at the Indonesian embassy to participants and journalists of the Asian Games. According to him, someone who is included in the preventive list will not get a visa to Indonesia despite his or her name already registered in the Olympic Committee in the country. The Director General of Immigration has established 9 countries included in the prevention list or clearance host, including 2 Asian countries, namely Afghanistan and North Korea. So far, Indonesia has declared that there are 9 countries listed in the blacklist or clearance host, namely Afghanistan, Guinea, Israel, North Korea, Cameroon, Liberia, Niger, Nigeria, and Somalia. Rohongki said whoever comes from the 9 countries must pass through 2 stages of examination, including athletes and officials of the Asian Games participants. The rules are implemented in an effort to anticipate if any enter with a particular purpose outside the interest of the Asian Games 2018, since all that is done in principle to make the Asian Games 2018 a success. That was Miss Lenny for today. We will meet again next time with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Lenny on Indonesia.
Listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Bala Murali in South India. He was listening to our broadcast in English program through frequency of 9525 kHz at 13 to 14 UTC with the SIMPO 44444. Hello Bala Murali, thank you for the loyalty to listen to our broadcast. Yes, we still remember you, even though you rarely send your reception report of our broadcast. We are really sorry for your inconvenience about our KSL card, which is you haven't received, but some time ago we have sent our KSL card to your home. Once again, we will try to send it again to your address. Hopefully, the card will be delivered to your home safely. And please inform us if you have received it. Thank you. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Semua rencana dua jam ku menunggu, entah harus bagaimana. Datang menghampiri, sampai kapankah ini penantianku berakhir?
Tolong sabarlah dulu, beri aku sedikit waktu. Sabar, sabarlah dulu.
Listener, now we will replay a letter from Dahmani Rashid in Algeria. He was listening to our broadcast in Arabic program through shortwave on frequency of 9525 kHz. Hello Dahmani Rashid, thank you for your compliment on our broadcast. We are glad because you can listen to our radio in normal voice. It means that you can monitor our broadcast clearly. And we are really sorry if you have not received our response on your email. But don't worry, your email has been delivered to related section, so please be patient to wait for the replay. Well, Dahmani Rashid, keep listening to our broadcast and please send your reception report. Thank you. Listener, wherever you are, let's listen to a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
I remember the way you glanced at me as I remember. I remember when we caught a shooting star, yes, I remember.
Listening to listeners' mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to replay a comment from Dieter Sommer. He was listening to our broadcast in German program. In his email, Dieter Sommer complained because he sent a receipt on 28 January 2017, but he has not heard any confirmation in the horror briefing segment. Hello, Dieter Sommer. Thank you for your attention on our broadcast. We are really sorry for your inconvenience. As you know, we receive so many emails and letters from around the world. According to information from the German section, it replied your email in January on the radio. Probably, at that time, you did not monitor our radio. But we have delivered your email to the German section. Well, Dieter Sommer, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. For you listener, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song.
Feels like summer. How come
Listener, before we end our listener's mailbag, we want to reply a letter from Peter Ng in Malaysia. As usual, Mr. Peter Ng sent his reception report of our broadcast where he was listening to our English program through frequency of 9525 kHz on November 4, 2017 with the SIO444. Hello, Mr. Peter Ng. Thank you very much for always monitoring our radio and giving your reception report. Before we sign out our segment listeners mailbag, we want to say hello to Farouk Shahzad, Riaz Ahmad in Pakistan, Guillermo Klapka in Venezuela, Abdelkader Khalil Aksaf in Algeria. Hello guys, how are you? We hope you still keep listening to our broadcast and sending your reception report to info@voi.co.id. Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Alika. Thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Indonesia. VOI. Today's sound. wacana. Dua jam ku menunggu, entah harus bagaimana. Datang menghampiri, sampai kapankah ini penantianku berakhir?
Tolong sabarlah dulu, beri aku sedikit waktu. Sabar, sabarlah dulu, sebentar lagi kita
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.